Professor Marcus Mininger delivered the following chapel address on March 26th, 2013.
1 through 5, and Proverbs 17, verse 9. They're both brief, and so I'll read them to you. Psalm 103 is very familiar. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And then if you turn briefly over to Proverbs 17, verse 9, this is actually more the center of my concern after a fashion. Proverbs 17, verse 9 says this, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. This morning I want to look for a few moments together at the gospel as it concerns remembering and forgetting. There are many aspects, of course, to the way that Scripture describes the gospel. There are many facets to it. There is redemption from our sin. There is satisfaction for God's wrath. There's reconciliation with God and with one another and so forth. And this morning I want to look at one aspect, that of remembering and forgetting, both with regard to it being a crucial aspect of what God does for us and derivatively an important part of what we are called ourselves to do in Christ, both to remember and to forget. God remembers certain things in Scripture, and he forgets certain things, both with regard to believers and unbelievers. And because of that, in light of that, we are to remember and to forget in similar fashion. Our minds and our mouths are to be guided by the evangelical graces of remembering and forgetting. So this morning I want to, rather than look particularly at one text, I want to do a little bit of a survey for us. I think it will be instructive. It's not my typical way of going about things, but Scripture is literally filled with passages on the topics of remembering and forgetting. I think it will do us well. I hope it will be beneficial to look at some of them in somewhat informal, incomplete way this morning. First, I want to look at what God remembers and forgets. Of course, we know, theologically speaking, that God knows all things, does he not? Nothing can be hid from God. And for that reason, it's perhaps all the more striking that Scripture often speaks of God remembering or recalling things to mind. We know, of course, that this is an anthropomorphic way of speaking, but it is a particularly important one for us as fallen sinners. God's remembering, in fact, helps move and direct redemptive history along towards its desired end, and God's forgetting allows that movement to occur. At important junctures throughout Scripture, then, it speaks, points out that God remembers, in particular, various things, one of the most prominent being his covenant and its promises. After the flood, God tells Noah, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. When God came to Israel in Egypt to deliver them, came to Moses, Scripture says, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. After John the Baptist was born to prepare the way for Christ, in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us to show mercy to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant. Not surprisingly, then, the Psalms are filled with praise for how our Lord remembers His covenant forever, the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations, Psalm 105, and many other similar instances. Beyond that, because of His covenant mercies, Scripture also says that God remembers our prayers and our plight. Genesis 30, verse 22 says, "Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb." Psalm 132, verse 1, David prays, "Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured." Psalm 136, verse 23, "It is God who remembered us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever." But of course, we know that in Scripture it is not only the good things that God remembers, at least not in every instance. He also remembers unrepentant sin. Psalm 109, verse 14 and following, "May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. For he did not remember to show kindness, but pursued the poor and needy and the brokenhearted to be put to death." Revelation chapter 18 speaks about Babylon. "Her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others. Repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup that she mixed." Of course, it is because God does remember unrepentant and unatoned for sins that we see the saints in Scripture pleading with God to remember them through their mediator and in His mercy. After the incident of the golden calf in Exodus chapter 32, Moses pleads with God, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, 'I will multiply your offspring.'" Psalm 25, 6 and 7 prays, "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord." Throughout Scripture, then, we see that what God remembers works in favor of His people. His mind actively purposes to be selective, so that He calls to mind what works on our behalf. Because of His love, He remembers only that which enables Him to live with us and to be our God. And of course, this selective remembering also involves a lot of forgetting. If He remembered all things equally with us, we would have no hope. And so as Psalm 25 says, "Remember your mercy, O Lord, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgression." As Psalm 32 says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Psalm 103, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us." In the Christian church, then, brothers, it's very important for us to remember this morning, to remember continually, we are utterly dependent on God's selective memory. That He not think upon certain things, that He put them out of His mind and forget them, and instead that He actively think and dwell upon other things, remembering His covenant and the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. Without the Lord's both graciously remembering and graciously forgetting, He would still be angry with us. There would be no reconciliation, and we would have no peace. Clearly, the activities of remembering and forgetting are crucial to the gospel of grace. Well, secondly, then, this morning, we need to consider how the Lord's acts of remembering and forgetting set a pattern for us to follow as well. We need to look as well this morning at what we are told to remember and what we are told to forget. It's not surprising to notice that we, as God's children, are told to remember and forget in a very similar way to the way that God Himself does. And yet, there are differences. There are differences particularly because we ourselves, unlike God, are objects of grace. To begin with, then, Scripture makes abundantly clear that we are to remember the Lord and His works. In Exodus 13:3, Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place." Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not." Similarly, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So, as we are told to remember God's great deeds, His work on our behalf, we are also told to remember our sin. To remember our sin in order that we would be humble before the Lord and to repent of Him for it. Moses recounts Israel's history to them in order to humble them by reminding them of what they have gone through. "Remember," he says, "and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord." But he does this for an evangelical purpose, so that they would live before God in confession and restoration. And so David says, "I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Jesus says that we are to remember our own sin. He says, "If you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go to him. Remember your sin and go deal with it graciously." But of course, after we remember our sin in order to confess it, we are again and again to remember our Savior and the redemption that He has purchased for us. So again, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Paul, likewise, recounting the words of Jesus, recounting rather the gospel of Jesus, says, 2 Timothy 2:8, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel." And Jesus himself gave us a ceremony of remembrance. At the Passover, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." in the middle of all these commands and reminders to remember, it is also conspicuous that there is a particular place where we are told to forget. This, I fear, is something that we are often hesitant to do, or even unwilling. The Lord tells us to remember Him, tells us to remember His deeds, tells us to remember our own sin so that we can repent and live humbly, tells us to remember our Savior and His gracious benefits to us. But one thing that we are not told to remember, in fact, we are told to forget, is the sins of others against us. Proverbs 10, verse 12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses." Proverbs 11, verse 13, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." 1 Peter 4, verse 8, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." Ephesians 4, verse 23, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Clearly then, brothers, we are told to be forgetters in imitation of God. And not just in imitation of God, but in imitation of what God has done for each of us, individually and corporately. Just as much as we depend upon the Lord, we depend before the Lord on His having a selective memory with us. So we are told to do the same for our brothers and sisters in Christ, to forgive them, just as we ourselves have been forgiven. And so Proverbs 17, verse 9, which I read before, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." And I ask you this morning how you do in this regard. How do you do about not repeating a matter for the sake of love, not recalling the sins of others in the church? If we depend upon God so constantly to forget and not recall our sins, do we practice the same sort of evangelical grace towards our brothers and sisters around us in the church or in the seminary? When I moved here a little over 2 years ago, our family moved from Philadelphia to the grand territory of the Midwest, and we didn't know anyone. We did not know a single person personally. And you know there was something glorious about that, because we had no memory. We had no communal memory, and neither did anyone have any memory of us. But over time, all the memories start to percolate up from the depths. The people who keep the memories, the people who harbor them, who cultivate them, who relive them, the people who rehearse them and catalog them and recount them, begin to speak. And now, there are things that I have done against others that they have done against me, even since the time we've been here. What are we to do with such things? How are we to live with one another as sinners? Far from covering over each other's sins, matters of offense are rehearsed, repeated, revived, passed on, given to others. "You should know this about what she said once. You didn't know him when such and such and so and so." In this community, we have the luxury of being surrounded by many Christians and many strong Reformed churches, and that is indeed a privilege. But it also becomes a drawback if, as we live in close quarters with one another, we do not remember the gospel of gracious forgiveness. If we do not remember the gospel of remembering and forgetting. We all ask with the psalmist that the Lord would not remember our iniquity but blot it out. But then we turn to our brother or sister with an entirely different standard. Friends, the Lord says that this should not be so. No, in the gospel, we must practice the same sort of remembering and forgetting that we look to from God Himself. Remembering His covenant and His mercies, remembering our sins so that we can repent of them, remembering our Savior through whom we have forgiveness, and then, because we are constantly remembering those things, not remembering, but forgetting, covering over, and not repeating the offenses of others.